right. Thank you, ladies. Happy Saturday morning to you. We're excited that you're here. Hey, the theme of this conference so far has been embrace the suck. So I'm just going to help with that theme during this session, because anything worth doing, it's going to require work. And you're going to hear that theme. Don't let anybody tell you that life's going to be easy. It's going to come easy. Salvation was in an instant. I said this before. But the making of a saint takes a lifetime. So sanctification is a process that's going to take place over your life, and God's going to bring you in different seasons, out of seasons, over seasons, and going to help you become more like him. And so where you are right now is where God wants you to be. And if you say to yourself, I really don't feel like I'm where I need to be, God will move you. He'll move you. But just because it's uncomfortable doesn't mean it's not God. So there's a gospel that is being preached that says, well, God's going to bless me. He's going to give me what I want. It's a false gospel, because when you read the scripture says that if you deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow him. He said that's what it means to be a disciple. You are following and learning of the master. And if you are going to follow and learn the master's ways, you're going to have to do what the master did, but also go through what some of the master went through. If you're going to identify as a Christian, which a lot of us are dealing with the whole identity issue today, you're going to have to begin to identify with Christ in his suffering before you can identify with Christ in his resurrection. That's how it works. So there's no life without death. And so as you look at the book of Isaiah, go ahead, Alan, put that up for me. This is going to be the framework we're going to lay our session down on. It says, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of the dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised, take note, and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low self-esteem. So you can't tell me God doesn't know anything about rejection. God doesn't know anything about abandonment, and doesn't know anything about pain. That's a lie. If he was so disfigured when they looked on the cross and they could not recognize him, even in his likeness and the way he was supposed to be, you can't tell me that God cannot identify with the awkwardness of your situation and how unfamiliar it might be to you and how foreign it might be to you. God is acquainted with you because he went through what you're going through. He identifies with you because he was qualified now as a high priest to empathize with you because of what he went through. So don't think that you have some God who's afar off and cannot relate to you in your situation. I don't care who left you. I don't care who didn't come. God has never left you, and he has never abandoned you. So don't believe the lie that think, well, because I went through something, and I was abused, and I went through something, and I was abandoned, that means God wasn't really looking at me then. No, God saw you the whole time. It was God's hand that protected you, and as you look back, his grace was sufficient that got you through to today. And so where you are right now, you have to understand that it could be that God's grace, you're in season, you're due for an upgrade when it comes to your perspective on who God is. And so if you continue to look backwards and wonder what was and what you lost, you will miss on now and where you're going into what you have gained in Christ. You have to understand that the old is gone, and yes, I do move. And the new has come. And so if the new has come and you have a new nature in Christ, it is not profitable for you to keep reverting back to the old you. The old you has died. It was buried. You have been raised to life with Christ. Your nature is new. So the way you look now, you look through the eyes of Jesus and the way he looks at you. And the problem is that we have a body who's not looking straight. They can't look right because their glasses are fuzzy. They're looking through the lens, the old lens. And so as a Christian, you have to get to yourself and really get to a point where you begin to understand that if I don't embrace this season of my life, if I don't embrace the suck right now, if I don't embrace what God has called me to do, I'll never make it into the next season, because God is just not going to float me from one season to the other. God doesn't just float you. You know how sometimes you do it with your friends? Hey, will you float me 20? And, you know, when I get paid, I'll give it back. And, you know, they never do, but, you know, you love them anyway. So just float me. So God doesn't just float you where it's like, I'm going to float you from one season to the next. God said, no, my grace is going to be sufficient. I'm going to be with you in this season because there's something that you need to understand and know about me in this season. If you don't get it this season, you won't be ready for the next season. You won't be ready. So you're trying to bypass the system just because it doesn't feel good. Because you want to get out, and Lord, give me the key to getting out quickly. And there's no key to getting out. Well, if you really want to know, here's the key. Know that he's trying to get in with you. And if he gets in with you, it doesn't matter how long the season is. When it's time to get out, you'll get out. And you'll know that it was him who was with you. You see, what God's trying to get you to see is that I want to identify you in your weakness. I don't just want to identify you when you're strong. That doesn't do anything for our relationship. If you think you have it all together, if you think you have it figured out, how am I supposed to get in and rearrange and transform your mind to think like I do if you have walls built up all around you that say you can't get in because I have it all figured out? How's that working? And so he said, I want to get in. If you let me in over the wall just to peek what you got, I'll begin to show you some things, rework some things, heal some things so that your walls will begin to fall down so that you understand that it's always been me who's been trying to get at you. It's always been me. Oh, well, no, Lord, it hasn't. It was him. Listen, I was using him to get at you. A lot of times what we do is that we look at our circumstances and we're upset because of who God sends in our life and then what they did. And then they left, and then they leave you holding a bag, and you're like, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know why they're here. And God said, I just use him as a tool just to get you to start looking at me. Because if I didn't do that, you'd be looking at him the whole time as he was a provider, as he was what you were supposed to be. But he was never going to be your provider. I'm always your provider. There is something going on in the body of Christ. Like Patty alluded to it last night, where we're overlooking God because we're looking for people. And we're like, man, if you just come and save me, because that's what we're really saying. If you would just come and save me, if I can just find a man. You don't want some of them. They'll help me. And what happens is that if you don't understand that when God brings a man and a woman together, he brings them together for a purpose, to accomplish his purpose. So it's not just about the sex. It's about the purpose that God is trying to bring out of the couple. And the way he brings it out of the couple is that he uses his spirit to work on the couple as an individual so that when they come together, they're a beautiful expression of who God is. So if you're just desiring a relationship just because you want to be in a relationship with someone else, that's the wrong type of thinking. The right type of thinking says, Lord, I want to be in a relationship that you have for me. So that means that I need to be with someone who's going to show me what a real man is, who's going to show me how to lead, who's going to kick my butt when my butt needs to be kicked, but I'm still going to respect him, who's going to love me enough to wait for me, but also going to love me enough to push me, and he's not going to allow me to have my way all the time, sound like Jesus, right? So I need that type of person. And so when God does send people in your life, a lot of times you're looking for the wrong type of people. You're looking for the type of person that's going to help, like, masquerade you with stuff and beautify you and make sure you're good. One of the things that I tell people a lot is that me and Missy's relationship has not been easy. It's not been easy. We are different. We are different. And listen, that is a great thing. I didn't want to marry me. I wanted to marry someone else not like me. Because there was something in that I needed that was going to complement me. And God knows what he's doing, and he saw fit to bring Misty into my life. And you surpassed them all. I love you. But that's not without understanding what it means to get in the pit and get dirty and have to pull one another out because of the reality of life. If you're looking life to be easy, you're in the wrong life. If you're looking for life to be sweet all the time, you're looking for the wrong life. And I love Disney movies, and I love the movies that come out, and we love those because they feel good, and I'm all for feel-good movies. But when you really get down to it, the reality of it is that life is hard. People leave, and that you wonder where God is. But you have someone, a man of suffering, familiar with pain, who knows what it's like. So if you're going to identify with him, then you're going to have to be okay with being disfigured on the inside for a little bit. Didn't you know that when you entered into a relationship with Christ, that now your life is now exchanged? It's no longer you that live. The life you live now, you live by the faith that you have in Jesus. And so if it doesn't look perfect, it's okay. He knows that. He didn't die for perfect. He died to perfect. And so you're in a process right now of being perfected. In your mess and in your disfigurement, God looks down and says, that's beautiful to me. I understand what that is because I know what it feels like to be disfigured. I know what it feels like to be rejected. I know what it feels like to be held in low self-esteem. I know what it feels like to be abandoned. God says, I'm familiar with it, and you're in good company. So if you're looking for people to accept you all the time, you're not going to be able to walk with me. Because if you walk with me, people are not going to be able to walk with you. Because I'm going to show you things about who I am that are going to cause people to question the validity of who you say I am. And when that begins to happen, it's going to really begin to play on your emotions and your insecurities. And so you're going to have to wrestle with the fact and answer the question that I asked Peter, who do you say that I am? And that's the question that you're going to have to answer if you're going to walk with me. We want to walk with Jesus, and we want to talk with Jesus, and we have a great time in conference, and God gets in, and he gets into the deep places, and we like that because we like to feel. We like to feel. I'm telling you, God will allow you to feel. He'll allow you to feel. But he will not allow you to stay in the feeling zone so that you just operate based upon feeling. Because if we were to open up the room into popcorn testimonies, we would begin to find out that it was my feeling that got me in trouble 10 years ago. I leaned in the wrong direction because I was feeling. And I wasn't healed, and there was something inside of me that wasn't right. It was bending the other way, and because it wasn't healed, what I did was I leaned the wrong way, and I grabbed something, and I identified with that, and now it has become a part of me, and if I'm honest, it's hard to get that out of my veins. It's hard to get it out of my soul. You know, when someone is detoxing, how long it takes them to detox as it has to get out of their body. Some of you might be saying, and you're asking God, it's taken a long time for this to get out of my body. Do you know how long you were in it? You're asking God to do a miracle, and God said, just the fact that I brought you out of where you were and placed you on solid ground is a miracle in itself. And I am doing what I can right now to help alleviate you of those influences and those behaviors that you allowed yourself to get tied into years ago. And so it took years for you to get into that. And so I'm doing things that are happening now. It's taken a long time, but I want to do things quicker. But if we're going to do it quicker, you have to allow me to go deeper. And every time it gets hard, you can't say, wait. Because you want to block the pain. But every time you defer the pain, you're just deferring the inevitable. Because that's going to come right back around again, and God's going to say, now deal with it again. I can't, and I'm going to continue to bring it back around and say, deal with it again. Yeah, we've got soul ties. Yeah, we've got issues that people are dealing with. And if the soul is the place where the battle is, you know you're going to have to cover yourself and be ready for the hit when it's coming, because it will come. The hit will come. The enemy is just waiting to hit you on that shadow spot, on that spot that you block everyone from seeing. He is coming to hit you on that spot that only you know what that spot is, and he knows what the spot is. Why? Because he knows every time you take it and you fall to it. So when you see someone else proclaiming the goodness of God and how good he is, immediately in your mind say, yeah, he's good. But you have no idea what I'm dealing with right now. They must not be going through anything. You have no idea what people are going through right now. But they're standing in faith right now, believing God that he is who he says he is. I'll take the pain and I'll continue to move. We break it down here a little bit to help you. Can we be real? Are we okay? Okay. It hurts like hell sometimes. But it's worth it. Worth it. Some people look at, last week we were getting ready for the conference, and we were coming out of the gym, and we walked in and it looked like someone just beat us. Sweat was pouring everywhere. Eyes were bloodshot. People are like, what happened? That was a part because I made them do something more than they were supposed to do. But that's just part of life. Okay. Okay. But eyes were shot. We were walking through. Shirt was heavy because it was sweat. And I walked in and I said, man, there's something about this that just feels good. Because there's something about doing the hard thing that trains your mind to be able to deal with suffering. Because if you can't deal with suffering, you can't identify with Christ. It's not just about blessing. If I can't take suffering and if I can't allow the work to go on where it needs to go on, I'll never see the beauty that comes out of that. Because guess what? Once that suffering is over, a new cycle starts. Isn't it beautiful? So you gotta get used to not looking good all the time. That's the problem we have. I want to look good all the time. You can dress it up on the outside, but you can look like Cruella de Vil on the inside. It doesn't matter how high your heels get, but you can be wrecked on the inside. And if you're not open and honest enough before God and you care too much about what other people think, you'll never get a breakthrough. Because what oftentimes God will intervene and begin to do a work and stir the waters of healing into your life at the most unopportune, inconvenient times. And you're going to have to say, Lord, you want to do this now? Yeah, we're going to do this now because I want to free you. It may not be in your bedroom at night when no one else is looking. It may be on Sunday morning where your hands are raised in the air and you got everybody else is around you, but you don't care. You say, you know what? I need what you got for me now. And once you do that, the fear of man because that's what it gets down to. And I had this shirt done for this conference on purpose. Because what it gets down to is the root system. We're so rooted in the things from our past that when God comes in and try to pull stuff up, it's hard. Because we've buried it. But the one thing about God is that God sees. And so even when you praise, God sees through the praise to the wound and the hurt. And he says, I need to get to the wound. I need to get to the hurt. And as you begin to praise and as you begin to cry and as God begins to break it, you have to let that thing go and continue to do it. It's not just a one-time thing. Allow God to break it. Allow God to pull it up. But if you don't understand that he's familiar with pain, you will push him away because you think that he can't identify with what you're going through. He said, I know it. I'm the only one who can identify with that because I took it on the cross. I took cancer on the cross. I took abandonment on the cross. What do you mean? My God, why have you forsaken me? And we're not talking about a broken relationship. We're talking about a relationship that he had his whole life, not just life, but eternity past also, until he got to the cross and he was on the cross and felt the weight of sin, the weight of abandonment, the weight of rejection. I know it. And if you'll let me get in with you, I'll help heal you and strengthen you. Roots. pulling them up. I know right now I see you just pulling them up like this. Pulling them up. And it's uncomfortable and you're agitated because you can't control it. You know it's coming from somewhere, and God said, if you just let me, what happens is because you're afraid of the release, you won't allow God to pull. But if you will just understand that the release is part of your breakthrough, that you'll allow God to pull it no matter what it takes. No matter what it takes, just pull it. I told this story a couple months back. I got my wisdom teeth out a couple years ago, and it's a barbaric experience. It's barbaric. It's not fun. I went in, and I'm like, you got to take three out of the four out. I'm like, okay, whatever, just take them out. So we're in that day, and we're having a good old time. I'm in the chair. We got the doctor. We've got his assistant, and they're in there. And, you know, wisdom teeth, when they're impacted, right, they're in a little lower. So we got to, of course, right, so we got to get him out. It's going to take a little bit. So he goes to work on it. He's doing his work. And your mind is starting to think. It's like, hey, bro. Are you going to take care of this thing, or because of the pressure? Now, you're numb, but he's in there digging around that teeth and doing what he can do, and you start feeling stuff break off, and you're like, okay, we're starting to get somewhere, right? And so I'm hyped up for this moment. I'm in the chair. I'm numbed up. My senses are up. I'm like, okay, what's going to happen? Is this going to hurt or not? So I'm ready to go. My teeth are starting to break. They're flying to the back of my throat. But my gag reflex is so quick. I'm on point. I'm catching stuff. I'm spitting teeth out of my mouth. This is like a little thing we got going on. I'm bleeding. He's got stuff in here. We're having a great old time. He's doing this. Nurses, wherever it is, the assistant's there. And he's just getting in there, and he's starting to do stuff. And that's like one tooth. Then he goes and he starts doing what he has to do on the other teeth. But I started to feel some relief. But it wasn't really where it needed to be until he started to get to the roots. He said, listen, all right, now we got to go in and get the roots. I'm like, all right, yeah, I'm waiting for this because I want this to be done. I want to be able to breathe better. So finally he gets in, takes care of the roots, sews me up. After it's all done, I get out, I got like three gauze pads out of my mouth. I'm bleeding that night. I remember I went in and I taught a young adult group, I think it was. I don't remember what the heck happened. I was bleeding through my mouth. But the point is, it wasn't just about breaking the surface. If he didn't go get the roots, the job wouldn't have been done. And God is so good. And the work was so complete. And he said, it is finished. If I just do a halfway job, I'm robbing myself of the sacrifice that I made. So I'm devaluing my life. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to help get you cleaned out real good. And that means I'm going to get to the deep parts and excavate things that you have hidden and buried so that I can see my image. Because whether you realize it or not, your image and his image are like this. So when you say to yourself, and you say stuff like this, but I'm just ugly, no one likes me. What you're saying is that God created you not like everyone else, and there's no beauty in you, in your individuality. I wish this was bigger. I wish this was smaller. And God said, I made it the way I wanted to make it. And so if you can get to the point where you accept yourself for who God has called you to be, you will help yourself progress in life and stop looking at everybody else and stop looking at cover girl and start looking at cover boy and start looking at everybody else and be like, okay, I got to look like everybody else. I got to look at better. And we start doing this like a merry-go-round for us. Okay, I want to take a little bit of that. Give me a little bit of that. I'll take a tuck here. Give me that. I'll come up here. Give me all this stuff. All this stuff because you want to look at everybody else. God said, listen, you're so enamored with the outside that you forgot that is fading. But a woman who fears me is to be praised. What attracts me to Misty is the inward part. It's the grace that she carries herself with that attracts me to her and helps bring me down. That's where it starts. So if you can turn inward and allow God to do the work inward, I'm telling you, you'll be more attractive. Because A real person, a real man, when he looks at you, though he looks at your outward appearance, looks a little bit deeper and says to himself, am I going to have to live on the corner of a housetop with this woman because she's nagging? Because beauty's going to fade? Or do I see God at work in her heart? Because I know that God can change that. And if God can change that, he can change what he has to change in me. We can make this thing happen. But if you're looking for easy, you'll find it. You remember how it was? You remember how easy it was? You know people who were like that. It's just easy. You want easy? People settle all the time. I'll settle. I'm going to settle for it. You looked at me good? All right, let's just go. Let's just go. Because we have no idea of the value that we have because you want acceptance. And God said, when did you believe the lie that easy was good for you? Easy. If you look at it this way, if at 5 years old, you're believing the seed that says, I'm a failure, when are you not going to get that the enemy is going to start off young and get you? I can't remember things. If I tell you stories, that young stuff. God just, young stuff, the enemy gets in. So that your whole life, you're walking around attached to that thing. You're like Jacob Marley in chains. You're just walking around like this. You got failure here. You got insecure here, abandonment here, sexual immorality here, all this stuff. And your whole life you're walking around like this because you believed the seed that was planted in your heart, albeit maybe not on your own, but because you weren't strong enough or left that it got in and it took root. And because it took root, now you're carrying it around with you so that when someone says to you, I love you, or more importantly, God comes out and says, hey, I love you unconditionally, you can't believe it. You can't believe it because you are attaching it to what happened at five. And so you're trying to believe God, and inside of you something says, yes, I do it. I sense it. I know it. But there's a root there that's there, and it's attached that will not let go. And so if you can get that thing severed, you'll be able to open up. But until you get it severed, you won't be able to open up. And so one of the things that you need to do is, I'm going to leave you one word today, one word, and it's latch. Latch. Like a baby latches on its mother. As that special moment of when that mother begins to feed the baby and connect. I believe God wanted me to tell you, I just want you to latch with me. Because if you latch with me and you move into me, I'll begin to start to cut some stuff off. But that means that you have to be willing to be vulnerable and to move in to him. One of his names is El Shaddai, multi-breasted one. That means that God has what you need. God has a big enough chest to give you what you need. God is not looking for a reduction. He doesn't need it. God's not looking for an upgrade. He don't need it. He has a big enough chest to feed everyone. So what that looks like for you is, Lord, I'm hurting. I'm dragging it. And God says, I see it. But when I bring that pressure around again, what I want you to do is push into me. And as you push into me, I'm going to start pulling it. And as we get that push and pull motion going, you'll start to see things break in your life. But you got to be willing to push with me as I'm pulling. Like a midwife delivering a baby. And, hey, it's time to push. As you push, guess what? When I see the baby, I'm going to pull. God said, if you will just push into me, I will begin to pull that thing out. And you'll see it. And it's going to feel awkward. It's going to hurt. But you know what? It's going to be good for you. But you got to keep doing that. And when it hurts, do it again. Lord, this is hard. It sucks. Do it again. Do it again. And then little by little, you won't be dragging anymore. You learn how to walk. Well, I've never experienced this freedom in my life. And God said, because you've been carrying baggage from your childhood that you have not given over to me. And let's just get a little theological for a minute. Or at this time, I've allowed you to start to deal with now. Because you may not have been ready then, but you're ready now. Because your heart is ready now. You know something needs to change on the inside because you can't take it anymore. You know when things need to change when you hit the wall inside and God says, "That we're not doing that anymore." Just dragging. And God said, this is a process. That's not a biblical point of view of what Christianity is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. If you're denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following him, that is saying, Lord, it's not about me. It's about you. I'm going to take up that abandonment. I'm going to take up that rejection. I'm going to take up that immorality. I'm going to take up that. I'm going to follow you. And as I move into you, and as you start to pull, I'm going to push. It's got to be a two-way street. God just doesn't, here's the thing about God, he doesn't just do it by himself. You think, well, God's just going to take me, and he's going to do it. He doesn't. There's involvement. There's involvement. That means you can't have privilege without responsibility. God's just not going to give it to you and say, listen, yes, you're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Yes, I've seated you. Yes, you're my kid. Yes, but now you have a responsibility. Come after me. Come after me. Come after me. Use what I gave you. Exercise your muscles. Stand up. When that lie comes in, say something. Patty talked about last night about getting our voice back. Last year when we were here, I said, listen, I got a vision of us coming out of during Corona season of people coming out of the waters with swords in their mouth. The sword being the word of God. But you got to be willing to go into the waters if you're going to come out with a sword. You can't expect, well, a lot of times we got swords in here, but they're not sharp. They're not sharp. You're trying to fight the enemy, and you got one of those little dull swords that you bought in one of Busch Gardens from throwing that little game. You're doing the ole. He comes in, you're like, I got you. But you're running away. And God said, if you would just stand up and face it, he'll turn and run the other way. But the problem is that if you're not submitted and then you go resist, it's not going to work. He's going to look and say, they're weak there. They're not submitted. So he's going to come around and still attack you there. You can submit and you can try to resist all you want. But if you're in compromise, it doesn't work. You resist him, he'll go. If you feel in here that I am where God has called me to be, fantastic. And I'm on my way to where I need God's calling to be, yes. You're not perfect, but you know you're making strides, good. God's got your back. The enemy comes in. And oftentimes, newsflash, God will allow him to come in just to test you and see where you're at. Don't think that God's not a teacher and that he doesn't see it and know when it's time to go to class. All the stuff you've been learning, and all of a sudden, you're doing good, right? You're doing good. Sunday gets up, and it's time for Sunday. You know it's the first, okay, I got to go to church. All of a sudden, you get up, and all of a sudden, things in your mind start to play over and over and over again just on that day. Why that day? It's just a test, son. It's just a test, daughter, to see whether or not you're going to implement what you've been learning. And see if you're going to put my house first, even when your house is not in order. To see if you're going to put my money first, even when your money's not in order. To see if you're going to put your relationship aside when I ask you to do something and when you think that your wife or your friend is not going to do or reciprocate what you think that they should do once you do it. I'm going to test you in that just to really see, am I still first? I'm just going to help. I'm going to help you in that because I want you to learn. You know the stuff I've been showing you in secret? Well, it's time for you to display it. So, guess what? Here comes Jerry this week. He's going to call you. What are you going to do? Are you going to, you can have what you want. Or are you going to start to stand up for yourself and say no? Hey, by the way, Jerry, just so you know, I was homeless, but I do get a job. God restored my fortune. God gave me a house. I started a nonprofit. God's bringing healing in my life like you can't even believe right now. I'm not the same person I used to be. And you know what, Jerry? No, you know what? No, that's not going to happen anymore. Now, no side rides, nothing. We're not doing that anymore. And by the way, I love you. God's got a plan for your life, but we got to go. Soul tie done. Thank you. You passed the test, Malia. Now you can move to the other side. Test. 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 Because you can spiritualize it all you want. God's going to do it. Here comes the test, because the test is going to determine if it's cut. Let's all stand to our feet. We can do this, but I know it's time for lunch. So you have a God who's familiar with pain. Show of hands real quick right now. I'm in it right now. I feel like I'm in it right now. There's some stuff in my life that's just going on. If four people are in it, we're in the wrong place. We're in the wrong place. Seriously. We're going somewhere else to preach. Because what it says is, and I'm not saying that you have to be on death's door. And like you're like believing God for a miracle, because if you don't, he's not going to raise you from the dead. I've been there. But I am saying that there has to be some sort of transformation going on in your mind and in your life for you to become more like Christ. And what that means is that because you're moving forward and you're pushing into him. Because as you push into him, you can't stay the same. And as you push into him, things begin to change. And so I want you to think about that. If that is happening in my life, I know I'm where I need to be. If God is pushing me to do something harder, good. If God is pushing me to step out and serve, good. Some of y'all need to start serving, just in different ways. I know a lot of you do, but to step out and use the gift that God has called you to use. Use your mouth. We have a body of Christ right now that's lame because everyone's sitting. Coronavirus, in Jesus' name, in this church, is over. It's been over. So that's already over. So when God has said, I'm sending you out into the world, he said, I'm sending you. There are no masks in here right now that I see. No masks on, okay? Praise God, no masks, okay? But what God is looking at is like, okay, that season is over, and we're moving forward. So what I want to get to do, I want to get to the stuff now on the inside that we've been hiding, because there's a world right now who needs to hear what you have to say about me. Father, thank you so much for this day. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, it's sufficient. Your grace is sufficient. Thank you for running after us, even in the midst of hardship, turmoil, and difficulty. Lord, you've given us a new name, a new nature. We thank you that we're your kids. We love you. Lord, for every woman in here right now who looks at themselves as a failure, who looks at themselves as not good enough or worth it, Lord, begin to transform their mind to see differently, so that when they look at themselves in the mirror, they're proud of what they see, because you see them differently. I thank you for new eyes of faith. Lord, just a new action. Lord, as they get up tomorrow, that they're going to push towards you. They're going to drag that stuff with them, push toward you. And this week, as you start pulling, Lord, I pray that you would give them the strength to let go. Allow you to pull as they're pushing. Lord, develop an intimacy with them, Lord, that can't be matched. So that when they come in contact with people, immediately deliverance comes with them, because you delivered them. Thank you, Lord, that people are not going to have to wait until Sunday to get their message. Because you're sending your people out into a world with the message. A message of reconciliation, a message of deliverance, a message of God can, because he did it for me. He did it for me. Everyone in here, I thank you for a new anointing, a new release of power in their life. As they begin to lay hands on the sick, they will recover. As they begin to speak into the lives of their friends, that chains will fall off. As they begin to go out and do the works that you've called them to do, even greater, God, they're going to see demons go. They're going to see lives saved. They're going to see babies raised back to life, just because that's your gospel, because you are the resurrection of the life. Do it in them first. Resurrect them back from the dead. Bring life back into places, God, that have been dormant. God, separate them, severed ties. God, bring them a new irrigation system that goes so deep into their life that nothing can shake them. Nothing can shake them. No scheme, no plan. And that fruit will remain in their life, because you said that we would bear fruit, and that fruit would remain, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen.